The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
You're listening to the High Spot Podcast on the G-Pop Podcast Network. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside my tag team partner, the Trendsetter. Follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. Trendsetter, we are on the verge. We are this close to All In Weekend, and it's going to be amazing, especially Podcast Row. Cannot wait for that. But of course, the most historic night in independent wrestling history is this Saturday night. Can you feel the excitement, Trendsetter? Can you feel it?
Can I feel it, Jeff? I mean, it's only appropriate that you and I are part of such an historic event. You know, I'm keeping my emotions in check because that's something that I do, Jeff. I understand that sometimes it gets you aggravated. It might get some of the crew aggravated, but you know what? I am enjoying every single moment here in Chicago, Illinois, knowing that we're going to be a part of history, knowing that we're going to be sharing it with every single one of those people in that arena, people on StarCast, Podcast Row. It's going to be an amazing moment. You know what? I'm just kind of embracing it because you know why? We're showing the world what we're all about, but more importantly, All In's going to show the world what independent wrestling is all about too. So I'm super excited about this. I can't wait. It's probably not going to hit me until it's officially over right now, but you know what? I'm just enjoying the moment as it is, and you know what? What better time right now from the moment we started all this to be here in Chicago, Illinois. You've been talking about it nonstop. It is finally here. You know what? I couldn't imagine it, let alone experience this feeling right now, so let's get it started, man.
And what happened in the promo that we did from the beginning, it's like Cody said that this was a feeling. All In is a feeling. Well, you know what? The High Spot Podcast is an experience, and you guys are going to experience the High Spot Podcast for 4 days in Schaumburg, Illinois. Podcast Row, StarCast is going to be an amazing weekend. Chicago bound is the Jersey Wrecking Crew. So, Trendsetter, I mean, what is there more to say? I mean, the buildup has been amazing. Obviously, there's a feeling in the air like this is going to be one of the most historic weekends ever. We're going to talk to Conrad Thompson. He will join us. He is the man behind StarCast. He will join us to talk about exactly about that feeling and just everything that we should expect when we arrive here for the whole big StarCast convention that we are a part of. Also, too, he will talk about All In, what is his favorite match, and what he's looking forward to. And could he possibly want to do another All In, too, if there is an All In, too. But let's focus now, though, on All In, the first one, because you know what? You can try to duplicate it, but there's nothing like the first one, Trendsetter. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, there's nothing like the original. And like you mentioned, Jeff, we've been talking about it nonstop. The buildup has been there. And even without our assistance, it's been there. I mean, there's something to be said, Jeff, when a event is sold out and there's no matches set on the card just yet. It just gives you a feeling, whether you're on the outside or you're a novice, for example, looking at something like this, especially if you're a die-hardcore quote-unquote fan. What's so cool and intriguing about this whole experience, Jeff, is the mere fact that, you know, It really feels revolutionary. I know the word gets thrown around a lot. It feels as if we are in a special moment in time right now where we followed professional wrestling from the 90s to the Attitude Era, Monday Night Wars, to the new evolution of what it was supposed to be in terms of quote-unquote entertainment, and now back to something that's very near and dear to our hearts where this business once again is being revolutionized. It's being changed right in front of our eyes, and it's just so important for not just fans but you and I covering it that we're actually seeing it in front of our eyes. It's an amazing time right now, like you said time and time again, to be a wrestler, but more importantly, a wrestling fan. And this is just an example of all the hard work that the Young Bucks, Cody, have done, especially Cody's story where he's kind of bet on himself, and you've seen the success he's had on betting on himself by leaving WWE and really going out there and knowing he had more to offer to the business, more to offer to himself. And then seeing the Young Bucks and what they've done in terms of branding and merchandising themselves without the juggernaut marketing machine, which is WWE. What an amazing time right now. We can talk about the card. We can go and break down each individual match. But you know what? It doesn't need breaking down because each one speaks for itself. So I'll throw it back to you, Jeff. What does the significance mean to an event like this for you?
Well, what it means is, like you said, there was no card at the time where the tickets went on sale. So they were banking on Cody and the Young Bucks delivering on something that all the wrestling fans wanted to. Obviously, WWE has kind of not turned their back, but kind of brushed off the wrestling fan to the side, because you know that they are the entertainment factor. They give you that extra, you know, entertainment that is going to put the smiles on kids' faces, is going to put the smiles on parents' faces as well too. And those fans that are kind of tired of having Roman Reigns pushed down their throat, they're kind of tired of all of the you know, kind of like the comedy and just the stuff in the direction where they're going to, that fan that feels like they've had their back turned on by the juggernaut, which is WWE, they feel like this is their chance, this is their place, they can have their voice be heard, they can sit in the crowd wearing their Bullet Club shirt or any other kind of shirt that they get on ProWrestlingTees.com, and they feel like, you know what, that they belong, that they're accepted, that they're being catered to. And that's what StarCast is doing. That's what All In is doing. That's what Cody and the Young Bucks are doing. That's what they have been doing this year. And the same thing as in 2017. 2018 is a history-making year. It's all about making history. And this event will, of course, be historic. And I think as we head into 2019, as we talk to Conrad, it's going to be very interesting. You said it's a great time to be a wrestling fan. It is an amazing time because there's so much happening. And in 2019, you say it's going to be, you know, we said 2018 was historic. 2019, the landscape can change with a couple of decisions, especially by Cody or the Young Bucks. Now, we heard that they said that they were going to, you know, make a decision together, what's best for them. They made it pact. This is not just a friendship. This is a brotherhood of guys that really care for each other. And we saw at a Boardwalk Beatdown, the camaraderie, just the way they hang out. They see themselves more than they see each other more than they see their wives and kids and their families and their girlfriends.
They have become their own family.
And you saw it at Boardwalk Beatdown, which was an amazing event too. When they were signing, they get along. It's a brotherhood. And, you know, they will be very key in what happens in 2019. Of course, the Chris Jerichos in the world are going to be making a statement too. Ring of Honor G1 Supercard. What's going to happen before that during WrestleMania weekend? The landscape now is what is going to happen after All In. I wish I could say, man, I just enjoy that day. But I'm pretty sure that when I'm watching this event, Trendsetter, I'm going to be like, what's going to happen next? Because Billy Corgan said this is something, the start of something much bigger. And I want to know exactly what direction is it going to be? What direction does the NWA go into? You know, because, okay, they're going to be highlighted at All In, right? But what's going to happen after All In? You know, it's going to be a lot of questions are going to be answered, but still more need to be
addressed.
Addressed as we head into the later stages of 2018. But Trendsetter, just as a fan, getting here to Chicago, the anticipation, counting down the days, didn't think this was going to really happen. Now we put the summer behind us as we head into Labor Day weekend, and man, what a way to close out the summer for the High Spot Podcast, man. Boardwalk Beatdown, everything we've done with Pro Wrestling Magic, with Battle Club Pro, Innovative Pro, to all come together, and all the fans, all the wrestling fans come together for this big celebration, because that's what it is going to be epic, and we're just happy to be part of it.
There's no question about that, and I couldn't say it any better than what you just did right now. But just to add on to that, I mean, you're talking about an era where you mentioned Roman Reigns and the WWE. I think Cody said it best during the conference call. He basically said that, you know, this is the day and age of basically fans not regurgitating back what you're forcing upon them. And Cody himself recognized that. I'm sure the Young Bucks feel the exact same way. So, yeah, it is about the experience of what's going on right now. But more importantly, it's also about the mere fact that, you know, we're seeing something we've never seen before. And that's very rare to say nowadays, Jeff, when you talk about the world of professional wrestling, because so many things nowadays get duplicated. They get repackaged in a certain sense. So when we're seeing something to the extent that's never happened before, it's pretty significant. I don't think fans specifically, ourselves as well, really understand the impact of this. Hindsight's 2020 until it's all over, unfortunately. You don't want it to be over. The buildup's been so good. It's kind of like Christmas, right? You're looking forward to Christmas. You can't wait for the event to happen. You're hearing the music, the event. You're in the spirit. It's finally here, and then happens December 26th, and you're like, oh, what else is left now scenario. You're right. But at the same time, I don't want to think about what's going to happen, because there's so many questions, you said, that remain to be answered. What's going to happen with Cody? What's going to happen to the Young Bucks? Contracts are coming up. Kenny, you know, as well. What's going to happen? Is it going to be a one and done? If it gets duplicated again, who's going to be doing it? All those things I think will handle themselves in time. But my goodness, Jeff, to think that we'd be here at this moment, knowing when we started right from the beginning, and I'm sure we refused to listen to those first episodes of the High Spot podcast. It's amazing that we're here right now. And you know what? I don't say this a lot, guys. And you won't hear me say compliments a lot to Jeff, but I'll say one compliment to him, and I'm sure he'll enjoy it completely and want to play it back and back again, and you'll savor it. But
you don't throw compliments.
Let me finish, Jeff. Stop cutting me off like you always do. But again, I wouldn't want to do it with anybody else. My tag team partner Jeff Martin here in the High Spot Podcast, and enjoying the experience. More importantly. Not because I can't stand you, Jeff, but enjoying it with the crew. The people that have been supporting the show, supporting us, and you know what? This is for them as well.
And where can the crew find our show there, Trendsetter?
Well, guys, if you want to find our show and listen to it, and listen to my amazing voice, which I hate, by the way, and basically listen to Jeff for 45 minutes, ramble on back and forth, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts. It's really simple, guys. Just go on there. You'll find the High Spot Podcast. Leave a 5-star rating. If it's David Meltzer, it'd be a 7-star rating. You know, leave a comment. It only takes a couple seconds, guys. You can also listen to the show, too. It's available on iTunes, and you can check it out on SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, and Podbean.
And every other place where podcasts are available. You also want to check out the High Spot Podcast YouTube channel. It is up and running. We've got exclusive interviews with all of today's wrestling stars from the past and the present. We've got such interviews with Rich Swann and Mia Yim, who of course will be in the Mae Young Classic number 2. We got Impact Wrestling Knockout Kara Hogan and LAX and Brian Pillman Jr., etc., etc. Plus, you don't want to miss High Spot Podcast miniseries Adventures with the Trendsetter. That is an amazing one, and kind of got your little intro there, Trendsetter. You've been getting a lot of press, by the way, with Adventures with the Trendsetter.
I know. It's something, like I said before, and I'm being repetitive here like I always do, and it feels like I'm just regurgitating the same stuff, but it's true. I did this on a whim. I wanted to do something I thought was going to be entertaining and fun, something different from what people recognize me for in terms of doing the show with you here, talking about the world of professional wrestling. Little did I know that I would have a cult following. Not just a cult following, but you know, the talent that I speak to would actually enjoy the interview, enjoy the questions I was asking them. So, you know, similar to Conrad, I'm just asking them questions that I'm curious about, and I'm sure a lot of people, you know, thought the same way from a business standpoint. And it's picked up a life of its own. Finally put content out there. Piper Perry, ladies and gentlemen. Hot Rod Piper Perry, as I call her, because she reminds me of Rowdy Roddy Piper, is out
she
there.
She reminds
on YouTube.
You of Roddy Piper?
Well, Piper Perry. You know, do I really need to spell it out for you, Jeff? Seriously?
Well,
are you
going to
play dumb like you always do, which you do a great job, by the way?
Well, I mean, it takes one to know when they're a trendsetter.
Exactly. I know, because you look in the mirror all the time, because you're always checking yourself out for some forsaken reason. Talk about vain, guys. But anyway, finally, content's out there. Piper Perry's out there. You guys could check it out on YouTube and more stuff along the way. So I'm getting rid of all the AVN stuff. Getting ready for Exotica down in November, guys, in Edison, New Jersey, because I am heading down there with or without my tag team partner, because God knows he might have other things to do, who knows, in the near future. But again, looking forward to that and so excited for the support, too, because we have over 800 followers. And you know what? To think, Jeff, we would have one or two, now I'm getting greedy. Let's get that 1,000. Let's get that 1,000, guys.
Let's go for it, man. Let's like and subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. Definitely show the support on the High Spot Podcast YouTube channel. We've got, again, not only interviews, but we also have the High Spot Podcast episodes, which now are available on YouTube, as well as snippets of the Impact Wrestling media calls that we have there, the questions that we ask. We have the responses from the wrestlers are there, too. So much content on the High Spot Podcast YouTube channel. And of course, here in All In, where else are you going to find all those visuals? But definitely on the YouTube channel. Just make sure you like and subscribe to see all that content from StarCast and All In Trendsetter. And now, without further ado, we've got our Collar and Elbow interview of the week, and that is with Mr. Mortgage Guy himself, also the host of three amazing podcasts, Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, of course, 83 Weeks, and of course, What Happened When with Tony Schiavone. So, of course, you got Bruce Pritchard, Tony Schiavone, Eric Bischoff. That's an amazing trio there of hosts. Plus, also,
Of course.
Plus, he's also the man behind StarCast. Finally got to have him on the show. Lots of great stuff here, too. And also, podcasters, if you're you might want to listen to this interview too, because it'll show you the direction which Conrad believes that podcasts are going. And, you know, just a heads up for you guys, you know, pay attention, because, you know, for a group like us, it's definitely important to get some expert advice from a man like Conrad Thompson. So joining us on the High Spot Podcast is Conrad Thompson. All right, Trendsetter, we are now at the home stretch. All In weekend is this weekend. The High Spot Podcast will be there in Chicago on Thursday. We'll be there for all the festivities. And joining us right now is the man behind StarCast, and that is Conrad Thompson. Of course, you know him from Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, What Happened When with Tony Schiavone, and of course, 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff. Conrad, how are you doing?
Oh, man, stressed out, but excited to be here with you guys. How are you?
Good. How are you holding up physically, man? I mean, it's very stressful. I know you can't wait till this is all over. Big question for me is, when it's all over, what are you going to do? A big exhale and just be like, oh, thank God it's done.
Well, physically, I'm fat and tired, so pretty much same. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to Monday. 1 week from when we're recording this, I'm going to take the big exhale and hopefully immediately fly home, jump in my pool, and float around for 2 days and sleep for three, and then go back to being the mortgage guy, man. This has been an undertaking, to say the least.
So, obviously, I just mentioned a bunch of your resume as far as the wrestling podcast, and you're behind StarCast, and this has been a crazy time for you. When have you been able to fit all this stuff? You say you're the mortgage guy, right? But how have you been able to fit all this in such little time?
Incredible stress and absolutely no sleep. You know, I don't know how else to say it. That's really what it's required, but I've had fun doing it. And, you know, I mean, I'd like to say that this is something we were going to do again, but realistically it's a once in a lifetime show. So it's a once in a lifetime event for StarCast, but it was a lot of fun. And now it's just the execution. The planning of it was the fun, easy, what if, you know, hypothetical, but now you got a lot of people with really, really high expectations, and it's up to us to not only try to meet those, but exceed them. And that's tough to do for wrestling fans sometimes. We've got our work cut out for us.
It definitely is, because you can't please everybody, Conrad. But also, the mere fact, do you have a newfound respect now for wearing the promoter's hat? Because it's something that, you know, just like with wrestling, right? Not everybody can wrestle. Not everybody can get in the ring. Not everybody can be your promoter or do it consistently on a basis like, for example, like a Vince McMahon.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, I'd like to say that it's easier than it looked, but no, it's much, much harder. There's so many little details that will get you, and there's so many moving parts. But it was fun to try, but, you know, realistically, I don't know that this is something I'm going to try to tackle again.
Conrad, do you think that subliminally, with all the stories you've heard from Vince McMahon that Bruce has told you and you've heard right now, do you think somehow, like, it just seeped in your mind that, you know, Let me try this. If he could do it, maybe I can. Was that something that seeped in your head?
No, not really. You know, I wanted to do a wrestling podcast convention going back to when Greg Price stopped running the NWA Legends Fan Fest in Charlotte, North Carolina. It became one of my weekends that I look forward to the most. I developed almost like my wrestling family of friends, and we got together one weekend a year, and I thought, man, this is what we need, a way to keep this going. So at the time, I was doing the podcast with Ric Flair, and I thought, well, we could do the Ric Flair show as like one of the headline events and have some guests, and we could do JR's podcast and Jim Cornette's podcast, and Kevin Sullivan and MSL could come in, and maybe Bischoff and Nick Houseman could come in, and Bruce and I, and it could be a fun event. Well, the hotel was booked, so I just sort of shelved the idea. And, you know, they say in business and life for that matter, timing is everything. And that's really what this was. I bumped into Cody at the airport in Atlanta in January, and we started DMing, and I pitched the idea because I thought, you know, this is the best possible place to do it, to sort of present yourself as the official quote unquote convention partner for the biggest non WWE show of the year. And people were already saying that's what it was going to be before it ever sold out. I mean, so that's back in January. So I saw an opportunity and I swung, and what do you know? I connected, and Cody was in, and the Bucks were in, and it's exceeded all our expectations, to say the least.
Well, there's no doubt, depending on what happens, obviously the event, the anticipation growing for All In, that's going to be a home run regardless. I mean, this thing sold out without even a match card being set up yet, so that's just shows you the anticipation people had for this event and something like this to happen. So, you know, talking about the fact that you've mentioned it before during other interviews where you're like, you're basically a fan, and you're doing this because you want to have the fans enjoy the experience similar to what you would do if you were going there, attending it, and not being a promoter. But that being said, of doing all the things from the fans' perspective too, what have you learned from experts like, for example, like Jeff Jarrett, who's I'm sure has kind of given you some words of wisdom in terms of how to put and organize this all together?
You know, Jeff has been tremendous. He's been a great resource to me, and so is Mike Weber over at Fight, because those are guys who've done it. But really, you know, I've talked to them just about the sort of television side, because I've never produced television. You know, that's not my forte, but these guys put on events and have for a long, long time. So I can say, hey, how do we do this? And what about that? And everybody needs a resource like that. But really, the guy that I've sort of looked up to from a convention standpoint is Michael Bacchicchio at High Spots. I mean, I don't think enough people give WrestleCon credit. You know, you only ever hear the negative of anything. I think that's just the way it is. Not just with wrestling either, just in general. You know, it feels like the bad reviews are out there way, way more than the positive reviews are. But WrestleCon has become a brand, man, and people look forward to it. And it's the biggest convention of the year, the biggest of its type. And, you know, it was sort of a breath of fresh air, I guess, because we've always heard that, you know, promoters could be difficult to deal with and maybe there's rivalries. Man, Michael is cooler than the other side of the pillow, and I would call and say, hey, what about this? And I'd be in a panic about something, and 10 minutes on the phone with him, and I realize, oh, it's no big deal. So really, you know, my resource here, my phone a friend, my lifeline, was Michael from High Spots.
Hmm. Well, that's awesome. Sometimes it's people behind the scenes that you don't know, especially those names that you know, aren't common to the wrestling folk, but obviously you're getting a lot of you know, opinions and advice from a lot of people. You know, talk about, for example, just what the atmosphere that you expect. Once Cody and the Young Bucks got involved, did you think, knowing that you're a wrestling fan, did you think that this was going to be a success automatically just by them putting their names in the hat for All In?
Yeah, I mean, I knew it would be successful. Now, you know, how successful, I don't think anybody really knew. I mean, I think a lot of people expected the show to do well, but the idea that it would be a sellout in under a half hour, I mean, that's probably something not a lot of people called. And that's no disrespect to them. It's just, you know, hadn't been done before. So I think that's natural. But it's not surprising to me, because these guys have put out so much goodwill. You know, that really is what this sellout was to me. They had been good to the fans. They tried to win fans over one at a time. And they developed a really, really loyal following. And really, the secret sauce of this whole thing that I don't think enough people are giving enough credit to is being the Elite. A YouTube show put together by a couple of guys without the big budget production, and it's not super slick, and it's not overproduced. It's just real. And that way of communicating not just, you know, their feelings and their personalities, but telling their storylines. Now you've got an entire pay-per-view built around a YouTube series that wasn't put on by a major corporation with some huge budget. It's just fans who became wrestlers. Now they're in the business, and they're doing what a lot of fans think, man, if I was a wrestler, that's what I would want to do. And that sort of commonality and that sort of inclusion is what attracted so many people to this event. And I think that's the reason it sold out without really having a card announced.
You know, as three wrestling fans here, they're just, you know, conversing about All In and wrestling. One of the things that me and Brian talk a lot about is the storytelling. And you can get emotionally invested just by the storytelling sometimes. And I think that the YouTube works for being the Elite, because you get to know behind the scenes and who they really are. And now, for example, in 2018, when you think about the NWA title being highlighted on a main show like this, and basically they've done the same thing with 10 Pounds of Gold, and Dave Lagana has done a great job documenting it, and Nick Gallus being the right champion, you know, at the right time for the NWA. Talk about that, and talk about how, you know, I didn't even think we'd be talking about the NWA championship, you know, right now being as relevant as, you know, as it was back in the heyday.
Yeah. I mean, kudos to Billy and Lagana for having the vision for what the NWA could be. And they've obviously worked very, very hard. And I mean, it's in the conversation now where it wasn't a year or two ago. And all that credit goes to those guys. But I don't think that Cody's involvement can be overlooked. I mean, the amount of attention that Cody being in the title picture has brought this show to me is incredible. Just because if you're a longtime sort of old school wrestling fan, you just appreciate the legacy and the history of wrestling. And there's no more legacy in history than a Rhodes challenging for the NWA world title.
No, you're definitely right about that, Conrad. And the thing with me is that, you know, Jeff and I on the show, and we talk with several other people, especially several talent that we've had as guests. And I want to get your opinion on this too. And I'm sure you've spoken about it several times. I just want to kind of get your take on it now as we're getting closer to the All In event. I mean, it feels now more than ever. I mean, we know what happened now with Supercard of Honor, with Ring of Honor, that got sold out in Madison Square Garden. I'm sure nobody thought that was ever going to happen. We have this event coming in Chicago, Illinois. I mean, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan. That's what Jeff and I always constantly talk about. But I can only imagine from the standpoint, it's got to be a great time now to be a wrestler in general in the business, because now, you know, with the huge juggernaut, which is WWE, the staple where everybody kind of wants to go to, now there is the ability for other people to hone the craft. Maybe that wasn't there maybe 10 or 15 years ago. Can you get a sense of that when you're putting this all together and kind of take a step back? And I know it's difficult because you're doing so many things at the same time, but from the fan standpoint, this has got to be so revolutionary because this is changing the business as it is. So maybe who knows, 5-10 years down the road, the way it's organized will most likely be different.
I don't think it's going to take that long. I think the wrestling business changes, maybe in a major way, maybe in some small way, but it changes, you know, Saturday at midnight. It'll all be a little different. And they're going to be able to prove that you don't have to have a national promotion. You don't have to have national television. You don't have to have a major backer. You can just have a good idea and a little bit of gumption and some intestinal fortitude, as Lex Luger used to say, and you can make it happen. And that's what these guys have done. And I think you'll start to see more and more guys sort of go their own way. And I think it'll be interesting how the WWE locker room reacts, because so much of that system, in my opinion, is based on guys sort of walking around on eggshells, or so we hear, and everybody sort of concerned about their spot, and there's so much politics, and you don't really have a say. I mean, you're just sort of dictated to, here's where you're going and here's how much you made. Whereas on the independents, you can pick your own rate and you decide when you're flying in and you decide who your opponent is and you decide what the content of your work is and the way you market yourself and the way you brand yourself and what your t-shirts look like. It's a whole new ball of wax. And it makes me wonder if the guys are as successful as we imagine they're going to be this weekend, how many people in that locker room in New York say, man, I want to do that. I mean, this, to me, that's real power. That's real change. And I'm not going to say it sort of recreates the territory system, but I am going to say if these guys think, I don't have to work for anybody, I can work for myself, it could be a new dimension for wrestling as we know it.
I agree with that, Conrad. It kind of has to take like a certain type of person, too, because Cody wasn't satisfied with his role. He felt he could do more. And so I think it takes a special person in that locker room, whether it's WWE or somebody else, that was like, that's like, I can do more and take a chance on themselves. I talked to Brian and I kind of said that in a, that 2018's been kind of like you know, about making history. As we, you know, amazingly winding down to 2018 and 2019, what do you think 2019 is going to be about in the wrestling business?
Man, there is no telling. You know, it's hard for me to predict just because there's so many moving parts. You know, I think it's not that big of a secret that a lot of the guys in the Being the Elite television show have contracts that come up around the same time. And what they do next is really going to be a movement in wrestling. Wherever they go, well, I mean, assuming they're leaving, and they may not be leaving, and that may be the news in and of itself. But it's almost like they're like a modern-day, real-life version of the NWO. These guys are cool, and they can go wherever they want. And if they go wherever they want as a group, they could sort of take over. Not necessarily from a storyline standpoint, but from the cool factor. I mean, they're going to be right in the mix of whatever they do, wherever they do it, whether it's Ring of Honor or Impact or WWE or New Japan or something different. But I just think it's going to be interesting to see what happens when all those contracts come due and wherever they land, who follows suit and who steps up in their place if they do leave. So to me, the entire next 12 months is based around what those handful of guys do when their contracts expire.
Do you think a lot of it, in your opinion, depends on the fact that if they do decide not to leave and decide to stay together again, that would be a huge indication that there's most likely or definitely going to be another All-In 2. Or like you said before, it just depends on the momentum of this. If they do decide to leave or whoever they decide to do once their contracts are up, whoever's going to be stepping up, can they gain the same type of momentum depending on the events that occur in Chicago too?
Well, I mean, I think no matter what, there's going to be another big show. Now, will it be another big show called All In? Probably not. Will it be another big show with Cody and the Bucks and those guys only as the promoter? Maybe, maybe not. But I do think that without question, there's going to be someone else try this big super show concept. And kudos to them. But it makes me wonder, do they feel like they've got to up the ante? Like, is it enough to come back and sell 10,000 seats again? Or in the real spirit of sort of All In, do you try to go a little bigger? Do you try to go 11,000 or 12,000? And to me, that's really what we need to find out, because, you know, as a businessman, I can't help but wonder, well, damn, if they sold 10,000 seats in 30 minutes, what if they had 20,000 seats to sell? I mean, that's a crazy question. I'm sure a lot of people hear that and say, well, that's dumb. They couldn't have sold 20,000. But a lot of people said that about 10 as well. And it's almost like when you're negotiating with someone, if, you know, you say a price and they agree right away, you wonder, dang, did I leave money on the table? And I feel like that's natural. These guys have to think, damn, did we leave money on the table? Not necessarily let's jack up ticket prices, but could we have ran a bigger arena? And the answer is yes. So is it a one-off, though? People wanted to just sort of throw their support because they really supported the idea of what these guys were doing? Or is the show going to be kick-ass and they can't wait for another one? And then they say, well, hell, if we did 10,000 and everybody loved it, what happens if we do 20? I think that would be really, really interesting to see them sort of test the limit of where we go. And I thought they did that, you know, not necessarily these guys. We've already seen it pushed a little bit with that whole New Japan Ring of Honor show at Madison Square Garden. What's next, though? I mean, after you sell up Madison Square Garden, where do you go from there? It's going to be interesting to see what's next. And I think where those guys go, all the chips will fall into place after that.
Yeah, that's why this is going to be a great end of the year and start of the year, because all the answers could actually happen at the beginning of January, February, March. So, you know, by WrestleMania, the landscape could change. So that's another reason why it's great to be a wrestling fan. And Conrad, I got to say this, that I do believe that someone could try this, but let's be honest, I think that Cody the Young Bucks, and I'm going to add you into here because you're doing the star cast, and you're basically...
Be careful, Eric. Conrad doesn't like to get any credit.
No, well, I'm going to give him here.
Humble guy.
Because he's speaking for us, the fan perspective, and he's trying to get into our minds and see what we like. So I'm going to say that you guys are the heart and soul, and it would be very hard for somebody else to try to top that without the heart and soul. I mean, they could, but it wouldn't be the same. And it's because of you and Cody and the Young Bucks.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I don't belong in that sentence. You know, you're exactly right, because
see, I told you
to me, nobody's coming to StarCast to see me. I mean, yes, I have good ideas. I mean, I'll pat myself on the back there. I do think that I have some good ideas that fans would enjoy. And here's why I'm uniquely qualified for that. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
So you said it at the top of the show. I sort of sat down, you know, at my computer and said, hey, man, what would I want to go see? But I do that with the podcast, too. You know, when I'm asking questions I want to know, not necessarily to make a good show, but because I'm a fan. And I can't help but feel like, well, if I want to know this, I bet a lot of other people do, too. And with that in mind, I think that's the reason StarCast has been a hit.
I could agree with you more there, Conrad, in the sense that when you're doing something like this, you're the fan. You're literally representing everybody else who most likely 9 times out of 10 are thinking the same exact thing, but you have the ability to ask the question that we all want to ask and get the response that we hope to get or have been dying to know what the answer is. Now, you're saying, of course, you're a fan. So from a fan standpoint, if you look at this card right now, I know it's difficult, but I'll have you make that difficult decision. What match are you looking forward to the most? What's the one that you need to go sit down if you're running around doing a million things, but you say to yourself, I need to sit down and watch this or stand up and watch this? What match would it be?
Without question, Cody's match. And I know that that's going to get some boo birds online because a lot of people are looking forward to Pentagon and Omega, and that's a great match. And Okada and Marty, that's going to be tremendous. And the six-man is a dream match. But I've become pretty good buddies with Cody through this whole process. And the idea that he got to sort of fulfill his destiny, if that's what the story is, if that's what we're going to see Saturday, I don't want to miss it. I want to be able to say that I was in the building and I saw what happened.
And as far as All In, of course, it is this weekend. It starts on Thursday all the way to Sunday. Of course, the big All In show is on Saturday. We will be on Podcast Row on Saturday. So looking forward to that, Conrad. And again, I want to thank you for, thinking again of the Fan Podcast. Now, obviously, you've got three amazing podcasts. And, you know, we can say that Colt's kind of the godfather of podcasts, but you're kind of becoming like the king of the podcast, wrestling podcast, because you've got three successful shows. And there's a lot of people that could be like, okay, well, I have this. But you think outside the box and you're like, well, let's take these shows on tour. Let's do Patreon. Let's, you know, put Eric Bischoff on Twitch and we can do stuff like that. How do you think ahead so much? Because there's other people that could have done this, but you've capitalized. What do you think has led for you to, what separates you from everybody else? You think ahead and stuff like that?
I'm not afraid to take chances. I'm not afraid to overextend myself, which I've clearly done here. I think a lot of people are very cautious with, well, if I can't put my full effort into it, I don't want to do it. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. Unfortunately, I don't have that. So I just decide I'll just create more time. And that's really impossible to do, but I push the limits as much as I can. So I'm working one way or another from the minute I wake up until I go to bed. However, I don't look at it like I'm sacrificing. I'm getting to do what I enjoy doing. Now, I have had to make some sacrifices in other areas, and hopefully, after StarCast, some of that becomes a little more normalized again. But that's really it. I'm just not afraid to go do the work and sign up for a little more. And a lot of the ideas you ran through were me trying to find ways to monetize the podcast. I've always felt like if there's a way to do it and make money, why wouldn't you? Now, at the same time, there's a fine line between, taking advantage of people and then giving them value. But if we're bringing value and people are digging what we're doing, and what they really want to buy is not groceries delivered or contacts delivered or penis enlargement pumps, what they really want is more of us, well, let's sell them that. And I just think that, I don't know that that makes me a bad person as much as it does a businessman. Because as a salesperson, I always ask myself, hey, what are they going to buy? And sometimes the only way to know is to just ask. So when we do polls about, hey, what topic do you want? Or anything that we do a poll on, I'm just asking, hey, what do you guys want to buy? And now I'm going to sell you that. You want some Cactus Jack? I'm in the Cactus Jack business this week. I'm selling you that. The same thing for Patreon. The same thing for the live show. When we start to see a lot of comments, we want a live show in such and such town, we start making calls. Hey, can we get a venue there? Can we get the right deal? Can we make the calendar dates work? Let's go. And so before you know it, this crazy idea of doing a live show for a podcast winds us up in Europe. And I can't imagine that that's a thing, but they tell me ticket sales are doing good in Ireland, Scotland, and four shots in the UK. And we're excited to be there. But it all came from, I can commit more time. Now let's figure out how to make money with this. And now that we've got that mentality, hey, let's ask them what they're buying. And what they're buying is more of us.
Now, of course, obviously there's a people want more. But for example, you work in projections and analysis. And if I were to say the future of wrestling podcasts, in your opinion, if you were buying stock in wrestling podcast, would you say that it's plateaued, or do you think they can grow even more?
The bubble has burst. A lot of the money's dried up. The big ads, the big ad buys, those are gone. They changed the metrics for the way downloads are counted. And a lot of that, you can Google which company was responsible for that, but it's not that hard to find. And you see that, the new standard has affected everybody's downloads. I just had a conversation with a big podcaster who said that his downloads were cut into 1/5 of what they were before. And as a result, the revenue dries up because the big ad agencies, they're looking for more eyeballs and the most bang for their buck. And if you don't have enough eyeballs, or in this case, ear holes, then you lose out on the buy. And I think the interview format has been a little overdone in wrestling. I think a lot of guys sort of rushed to it like it was the old Wild West, and there's gold in them there hills. So everybody started a podcast, but they were really doing the exact same thing. They're just calling up their buddies, clicking record, and pushing it out. So there would be weeks where somebody would have a new project come out, and you would see the same guy on everybody's podcast in a 2 or 3 or maybe 4 week period because he's pushing his new project. And while that's cool, at the same time, how many times do you need to hear the exact same story? So I tried to approach it a little different, and I wanted to go a deep dive on one particular topic. I wanted to create, and I hate the word, but I wanted to create evergreen content. Like, in a weird way, we're talking about All In right now. So, I mean, that's super topical right now and for maybe a week from now. But realistically, who wants to hear a conversation about All In 6 months from now? But at the same time, if we're talking about Survivor Series 87, isn't it weird that that never gets old? It's way older, but it's still not going to be old, and people will just go stumble on it and find it. And I don't know why that works that way. I think we all just sort of crave nostalgia one way or another. But I think that the bubble has burst financially and format-wise. I think it'll start to become more and more about video, and I think it'll become more of a daily thing, and I think the time will be condensed. I think people will move away from an hour, and they'll get to 10 or 15 minutes, and it'll be video, and it'll be daily. And there'll be a video version, but there'll also be an audio version, and I think it'll go more towards Alexa or whatever, and you'll start to see your shows dropping at 4 a.m. instead of 8 p.m. That's just my guess for what's next.
I mean, what's next is a perfect example. You just made that. It's now that your show with Bruce Prichard is on the WWE Network. That's another form that we were talking about before. I mean, it's one thing of hearing audio and hearing your voices and hearing you guys go back and forth and discuss certain topics and give your points of views and you asking questions. But at the same time, now there's a visual standpoint, because I've always told Jeff this. I mean, this is kind of what we're doing with the show here on the High Spot Podcast. I'm trying to do more visual based video content, because it's very clear, I'm sure you've dealt with this before, that the attention span of somebody, unless it's something like you said, nostalgic. I mean, I could listen forever for you and Bruce talking about the whole Montreal Screwjob. To me, as one of my favorite ones that I've listened to, the in depth. I feel like I was actually in there with you guys in the locker room when it was happening. But at the same time, the attention spans run really short now in people, where they actually want to see visuals more than listen to audio. Correct?
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, I do think that you know, you've got to have something for everybody. So I don't think audio is going to lose its place. If you're brushing your teeth in the morning in your bathroom or you're riding to work, I think audio is the way to go. But I do think that, you know, those shorter bursts, those videos, and that's, you know, that's worth mentioning. You go look whenever somebody uploads like a whole shoot interview, like it's a 3-hour shoot, and you see how many downloads or how many views it has on YouTube. And then you go look at like a 4-minute clip, and you see how many that video has, and it could be even clipped out of the long form video. And it's usually a multiple. People just get intimidated by the longer runs for the exact reason you said, you know, people just have a much shorter attention span. So as a result, you know, you're the shorter videos make more of an impression. They get more views and revenue is greater on those. So yeah, I think shorter videos, probably daily, is probably the new wave.
All right, so obviously, Connor, we've had you on here. We've talked a little bit about All In, but you've actually made the rounds talking about All In and you know, the press and pushing this for this weekend. So I kind of want to – we've got a few more minutes here with you, and I kind of want to, you know, change and ask you some questions about the podcast that you do. And one thing that I've always wanted to ask you is, like, by the time that this one will air, our show, you'll be 117 episodes in with Something to Wrestle With, you know, Bruce Prichard. You're going to be doing the SummerSlam 88, which was, you know, is my favorite SummerSlam. Which episode to you has been the most emotionally exhausting that you've done with Bruce? Has there one that's like been kind of like, wow, it just was emotional for you both?
You know, anytime Bruce gets upset at the end, Roddy Piper or Mr. Perfect or the Radicals episode where he's talking about Eddie, anytime Bruce sort of lets his guard down and is just real and talks, I just think that comes through the radio speaker and it becomes a real thing. And yeah, I mean, I think those are the ones that are the most emotional and the most real, at least for me.
Not speaking of things that are real too, something that's, you know, talk about emotional too. I mean, you're doing all these things, you're wearing the promoter's hat, and also you're still trying to keep your business of mortgage that you have in Huntsville, Alabama. But also you have a wedding to look forward to too. I mean, talk about the pressure. I mean, I'm sure the promoter standpoint for All In is nothing compared to all the stuff you have to deal with now from the wedding. How are things going there, and are you excited for the big day?
Yeah, man, it's going to be here before you know it. You know, we've got most all of the T's crossed and I's dotted, but not all of them. And I've had to let the rough end drag on some of that stuff for the last 2 or 3 weeks. But when I get back from StarCast, it's full steam ahead, man. The big day's in October, and we're going to get that hammered out and live happily ever after. Or now, at least that's the plan.
Now, Connor, will that be on Fight, or will that be on demand, or will that be on pay-per-view?
Man, anything I do from now on is on Fight, just so you know.
Perfect. If I miss it, it'll be on demand, and I can catch it any time, right, Conrad?
It's live and on demand with unlimited replays. Just go to fight.tv/StarCast, and you get $20 worth of Fight credit as well.
Look at that, man. Always selling.
I can't wait to see the post-ceremony after the wedding. Those are the best times, basically. Whenever he's dancing, doing the electric slide, you know, doing all the chicken dances, that's what I want to see.
And one more thing too, for me on the aspect is, you talked about, Brian was talking about how you were able to put the show on WWE Network, and of course it's the season finished, and here's the perfect example too, right? You're talking about free agents like Cody, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks going into the WWE, and one thing they would lose is creative. Now, you had a situation where an episode was delayed, the ECW 2006 reboot, and finally went up. It didn't go, didn't go up the day that it was supposed to. Talk about, for example, something that you face that the Bucks and Cody or Kenny could face if they go to WWE. What's the negative?
You know, I don't know that there is a negative. I don't think there's a negative. Is that wrong to say?
No.
Well, if you're a negative person, it is wrong to say. But no, you're right. You know, if you can't find a negative, you can't find a negative in it.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, too. I sort of purged myself of all negativity. Like, even the other day, my person said, are you grouchy? Are you grumpy? And I said, no. And I clearly was. I didn't sleep good, and I had a nap interrupted or whatever. I don't remember. But I was clearly irritable. But as soon as she asked, are you grumpy? It was an immediate no. And so when later we had a conversation about it, she's like, why would you say you weren't grumpy if you were grumpy? Because grumpy's negative. I don't want to be negative. So anytime some sort of negativity creeps into my brain, I have just learned to automatically filter it out and get rid of it. Or quote it on Twitter and let everybody beat him up.
I thought you were reading a promo before that. You're like, are you grumpy? Well, have a blue chew. You know, that's what I thought
you were. Yeah, there you go.
I thought that's what you were going to do. Are you grumpy? I thought you were setting me up for a promo. Conrad, I mean.
Well, one more for me, Conrad. I've always wanted to ask you this. And like I said, we thank you so much for your time here. But something I've always wanted to ask you is that, you know, it's very easy for everything that you do, all the shows that you do, and you're working literally nonstop, not just for this, but eventually once, StarCast and All In is done, you're still going to be working on a wedding and working on your business and working on the 3 podcasts you're doing, and who knows what else you're going to be doing in the near future. Have you had the opportunity and the chance, as busy as you are, because Jeff and I kind of are sharing this process now because we're getting ready for the events here, have you had a chance to take it all in, to literally, no pun intended, to enjoy the journey rather than maybe not worry so much about the destination? Have you had that opportunity to do that for yourself?
Nope. You know, it's been nonstop work. Obviously I've had a lot of fun, but a lot of stress doing it, but no, I haven't. I'm still focused on not screwing it up, because realistically, guys, I'm gonna, and I can just sort of, and I've been saying this all week, I can just throw my hands up and say, hey guys, I bit off more than I can chew. I'm doing my best. But I think, one of the things I've got going against me, the biggest, is I don't know what I don't know. But at the same time, maybe the thing I have going for me, the biggest in my favor, is that I don't know what I don't know. So I'm just pushing the limits on a lot of stuff. But like, man, line control, I don't know how to make sure that's done. Like, I've read some stuff, I've hired some folks, I'm ready, I think. But you kind of don't know till you're there. And I've hired a lot of professionals to help with things like sound and video. But at the same time, I've never done it. I hope it works, but that's sort of, the frustrating thing for me is I don't want my first episode to be my first episode. You guys go listen to your first podcast and you listen to yourself now and you're like, man, we've gotten so much better. Well, so that means I just know this first one's not going to be that great. And that's going to be a little bit of a disappointment to me, which is why I say, I ain't doing this again. I don't want to do it again. I don't want to stub my toe.
Hey, hey, that's being negative there. Don't be negative, Conrad.
It is. But it's also being a bit of a realist. I can't possibly have thought of everything. I tried, but there's going to be some stuff I'm just going to miss because I just don't know any better. And I can just be honest about it and say, hey, man, did my best. But in the end, there's going to be some jokes out of StarCast. Like, can you believe Conrad screwed this up? Yeah, that's my bad. And, you know, I'll try to apologize and make it right and do right by everybody. That's really what I want to do. I don't want to, quote unquote, get over on anybody. But no, the idea of sitting back and trying to soak it in, oh, look what I did. No, not at all. Right now it's don't screw this up. Don't screw this up. Don't screw this up.
You're feeling the pressure a little bit now, right?
No, not a little bit, a lot bit. And the thing is, like, realistically, it's already a success. You know, we're sold out and you can still do some meet and greets. It's on pay-per-view. It's profitable there on pay-per-view already. They say that we've set all kinds of pre-order pay-per-view records. I didn't know that was a thing, but again, I don't know what I don't know, but apparently we've sold like more pre-order pay-per-view than anything in fight history. And I can't believe that's a thing, but I didn't know any better. So I just went full bore promoting it and tried to get it over, as they say in wrestling, and it worked, but I didn't know, like, okay, this is the most anybody's ever done. Let's go beat it. I didn't set out to do that. I just wanted to do as much as I could. And it worked, but now there is the pressure of, we got to deliver. It's got to be good. It's got to be perfect. And it's just not going to be. As hard as I try to make it perfect, it's just not going to be. And that's the part that's a little frustrating for me. And that's the reason I can't just stop and sort of smell the roses.
Well, in fairness and reality, and you're being honest, like you said, too, but also honestly, too, at least from our perspective towards you, and hopefully you did get a chance to see this yourself, obviously not now in the moment that you're doing this all in, but to take pride, you have three podcasts, a successful mortgage company, you're doing this, which you never thought you'd be doing promoting, you're going to get married. I mean, if you're not going to say it, I'm going to say it for you, Conrad. We're goddamn proud of you for everything you're doing here. You know, it's only going to get better because, you know, knowing you, you have a tremendous work ethic, which where do you get that from? Where does your work ethic come from? Is it your upbringing or is it just something you naturally had within you?
Yeah, I mean, I've always done it. You know, the idea has always been you won't outwork me. And that's the reason I've been successful in my real life is, as we say in the South, I would work from can to can't, or as they say in here, can to can't. And so, you know, I work as hard as I can every single day. And sometimes I'm good at it. And sometimes I'm better at it than other days. And sometimes maybe not so good at it. But as long as I'm doing my best and I really am doing my best, then I'm comfortable with it. And with StarCast, I can say, honest to goodness, based on the knowledge and experience that I had and the resources that I had at my disposal, I leveraged every single thing all the way to the hilt, whether it was calling up Jeff Jarrett and asking production questions or leveraging a friendship with Mike Weber or reaching out to Michael Bacchicchio and picking his brain. I mean, there's been so many of those people who have just been gracious with their time. And I didn't feel like it was me sort of humbling myself to ask for help. I thought it was just the smart, respectable business thing to do. And in the end, man, I've got a bunch of best practices in place here. I hope it works. But if it doesn't, I did my best. I'm comfortable with it.
It's going to work.
I got a feeling it's going to work. And we're looking forward to being there, of course, Thursday. High Spot Podcast will go out there. We'll be on Podcast Row on Saturday. So we're looking forward to that, Conrad. And final one for me is this. This is probably the biggest question you're going to get the whole week. Jalen Hurts or Tua Tagovailoa starts the first game for Alabama?
To me, it's got to be Jalen Hurts. I hope it's Jalen Hurts. I want it to be Jalen Hurts. And I know, too, I had a hell of a showing, but it's Hurts' job to lose. So go out there and be undefeated like they always are, and it'll be his job to lose.
And Roll Tide.
Oh, Roll Tide. Matt, come on.
Exactly.
Conrad, thank you so much, man. Looking forward to meeting you. Hopefully get a chance to at least shake your hand. And
oh, yeah, and you're going to be getting this a lot, so get ready for it, Conrad. You're going to get a lot of thank yous and appreciations, more than the negativity you think you're going to get probably after it's all done and the ribs you're going to get from, you know, everybody like Cody, for example. But you're going to get a lot of handshakes, you're going to get a lot of smiles, and you're going to get a lot of thank yous. So get ready for that and prepare for that.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate you guys.
I really appreciate it, and hopefully you talk down the road. But, again, good luck with everything, and we're excited for StarCast and All In.
Well, we'll see you there, man. Looking forward to it. And if you're listening to this and you don't have tickets, catch us on Fight, man. Fight.tv/StarCast. You're going to be able to watch it live and on demand, unlimited replays. When you get that weekend pass for $99, you also get a $20 credit. Even though we're saying it's over 20 shows in 40 hours, it's more like more than 35 shows and 50 something hours. It's incredible what we've put together here. And it's evergreen, which is a word I hate, but it really describes what this is. You'll be able to go back and watch this for years to come. Unlimited replays. Check it out. Fight.tv/StarCast.
All right, Trendsetter, what an interview, man. Glad to have Conrad on the show finally, man. You got so many things to do, doing podcasts, being a mortgage guy, a wrestling fan, and, you know, planning a wedding like we were talking about in the interview. So much to do for him to give us some time here as we're in the home stretch for All In, which is this weekend in Chicago. Thanks goes out to Conrad.
Tremendous thanks goes out to him. I think I haven't really enjoyed quote-unquote interview in such a long time as much as this. I enjoy all our interviews, but to listen to Conrad and for him to be, you know, and he won't say it because he's such a humble guy, Jeff, but him really being an innovator of, you know, what the format of what podcasting was. Now, you know, everybody says everybody has a podcast, everybody, you know, tries to talk to their buddies and things of that nature, but he takes it from a different perspective. He went out, thought outside the box, basically, and wanted to do something on his own, and he has done it, and he's been very successful. And not just that, but you see all the other things he does, all the other podcasts he hosts and does all the work for. He's working every single day, doing this for StarCast and All In, running a mortgage firm, going to get married. It's just, it's inspiring for me. I'm sure Conrad won't take the compliment, but I'm going to force it on him. That's just inspiring for us to look at somebody like Conrad, see everything he's done. He's basically just a fan wanting to be a part of this industry in some shape and some form. And he's done it. And he's done it his way, as the old Frank Sinatra song is, and I'm dating myself here. And what a way to talk to somebody in terms of that we admire, and to see that at the end of the day, he's still who he is. He's humble at heart, and you know, he's just a workaholic, which we can relate to.
Yeah, he never loses the narrative of being the fan, and he's giving you what he thinks that you guys want. And when you take a look at all these meet and greets, when you take a look at what, you know, the stuff that there is to do, you know, he's a fan of Jim Johnson. He wants to get Jim Johnson on there yeah. to talk about the wrestling music. And if you ask me, the wrestling music was a huge identity for a bunch of the wrestlers that we know. You know, the Stone Colds, the Rocks, Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, all those, right? And now recently we're kind of like seeming like we're in the generic stages of wrestling music now for the wrestlers too. So Jim Johnson is very missed, and if you want to pick his brain, he'll be there with Sean Mooney at a very special meet and greet with Jim Johnson. I mean, that's something that I want to see. You want to take your picture with the WCW Championship? You know, you can do that. You can do a lot of things too. Just go to StarCast.com and go there. And I think Conrad has done a great job of trying to get into the mind of everyone. Can he please everybody? No. That's what you always want to do. But can he? No. But the majority will be pleased when they come here to Chicago for this 4-day convention weekend celebration.
And the cool thing about that is that, you know, music takes us back to the past or to a time and period which we remember. And when you look at those wrestling themes, I remember me buying my first ever WWE Full Metal album and playing that thing till it was worn out, because ultimately it brought you back to the days of sitting as an audience member, seeing your favorite performer go out there. You're right, now it's more generic, but at the same time, music like that, you know, the identity of it takes you back to maybe a simpler, better time. And so, you know, that is just, I'm looking forward to that as well. I didn't really see it that way as Conrad described it, but you're right, Jeff. So many things for everybody. There's a little bit of everything for everyone, but if you watch it on Fight, you can see everything at once and go flip back and forth. Us being physically there, you're going to have to pick and choose where you want to go to, and there's just so much to choose from. It's like literally the axis of all axes, is you have to be able to choose what you want, because you're not going to be able to see it all.
And that is why, for the fans that can't make it out there, you guys have an advantage, because you can watch whatever you want to watch on this Fight app, which is, again, has been another godsend to the wrestling fan, because you can watch all your pay-per-views on there and enjoy it, you know, when you want to. And then to have a contest like the Ultimate Experience with the fan from Washington, who ended up winning the two tickets to All In and getting all those bracelets and meet and greets, was amazing. And
front row seats,
very, very fan-friendly this whole thing has been to, from Jeff Jarrett, who joined us last week, to Conrad Thompson joining us again during All In, the convention, and taking time from his busy schedule. It's going to be amazing, man. I mean, you know, I'm sure there's going to be one or two things that maybe you don't agree with or you're not happy about, but you know what? This whole thing is a celebration, and I think that the majority of the fans are going to walk away and be like, wow, this is pretty amazing. So I'm definitely, you know, looking forward to everything. Walking around the hotel and checking it out, too, is going to be something amazing. And we thank Conrad Thompson for his time. And, of course, the Collar and Elbow interview has been brought to you by Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion. From cool-looking headwear to great-looking men's and women's shirts, check out the entire spring fashion line by going to collarxelbowbrand.com and save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOT. Podcast all in caps. The summer is ending, so you want to get your merchandise pretty soon there on collarandelbowbrand.com.
So Jeff, as we wrap this up, and it's been a great show talking to Conrad, talking about the significance and the importance for us emotionally as wrestling fans of All In, what's going to happen in Chicago, the, you know, experience, all that stuff. But I want to ask you now, Jeff, I'm asking you from a fan standpoint, right? And it's kind of hard sometimes to separate those two spheres because now, you know, this is an enjoying experience, but also it's business for us, right, Jeff? But let's take the business side out of it. What match, Jeff, are you looking forward to the most that you want to see when you go to the event, when you're sitting in that chair and we're putting our phones away, we're going to have to force to put our phones away to an extent because we want to enjoy it for what it is. What match are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I totally agree too, man. You got to put your phone down, man. I know you want to capture every moment, be the first person to tweet it out because of social media. But listen, man, take the time out. You're coming to Chicago. You're doing something for the very first time. You want to make sure you savor it, enjoy it.
Spending good money.
Put the phone down, you know. But what I'm looking forward to is going to be, in my eyes, the match that, you know, really has been well documented, and that is Nick Aldis and Cody for the NWA World's Championship. 10 pounds of gold. I mean, Dave Lagana, Billy Corgan, Nick Aldis have done a great job in telling us a little bit of the backstory of the NWA and seeing Billy Corgan's vision, and then also for Dave Lagana to put that vision on your computer, on your TV screen, on YouTube, to document that has been amazing. And it's amazing how we can tell stories now in this time through social media, through Twitter, through Instagram, and we can follow along and be emotionally invested. We talked to Conrad, we talked to Jeff Jarrett, that a good story will get you emotionally invested, and that's what I am still a fan of. If you give me a good story to get behind it, I'll have those goosebumps, and I'll have that urge to want to see it. You know, we talked about SummerSlam and that Brock and Roman, and we've already seen it before. But you know what? That promo where, you know, Paul Heyman, you know, talked and built it up, I got the goosebumps right before the show. So, I mean, he told a good story, and it was through his promo. Now imagine, you know, Nick Aldis, you know, Billy Corgan telling the story through YouTube. It just hits you more. And then, of course, Cody and the lineage that this is, you know, this, his father was a 3-time NWA champion. So this, you know, whether Cody says it's not for his dad and he's doing it on his own, that's fine. But a lot of wrestling fans, a lot of people that were Dusty Rhodes fans are going to, you know, put two and two together and be like, you know, this should mean a lot to Cody because of that. And obviously, if Dusty was looking down right, is looking down right now, he's a very proud dad.
Oh, without a question. I mean, not just for the fact that, you know, Dusty Rhodes would be proud, but, you know, Cody should be proud of himself. I mean, again, we documented over and over again. We've mentioned it, and I'm sure Cody's been asked about it in every interview he's been a part of. You know, what was it like leaving WWE? What made you want to do it? He's explained it thoroughly several times, and ultimately he just took a shot at himself, something that not a lot of people would. Something that Conrad spoke about too is that, you know, just not being afraid to take a risk. And nowadays, more than ever, Jeff, I don't know if you would agree with me on this or not, but now I think more people are just afraid to take a risk, afraid to take a shot, because when you try to compare it, the negatives outweigh the positives because you're looking at the negative aspect of it. And when you're a positive guy like Cody and a positive guy like Conrad is about himself and tries to push negativity aside, which I'm sure why the two kind of clicked with one another, a lot of things can happen in your favor. And, you know, I'm a huge advocate, I would say, for as I'm doing my Paul Heyman impression, of hard work and dedication is the best solution, the best formula for success. And right now, you're seeing a perfect example of it. For me, Jeff, the match I'm looking forward to most, and I hate to copy because I do admit that, you know, what they did with the NWA title, the prestige has always been there, I feel. It's never been painted in a good light because I'm sure people...
Recently, of course, it's been kind of, you know, made like a joke, kind of like a punchline.
True, but the history's always been there. Even for the novice fan who didn't know, I mean, you ask anybody who's more of a wrestling expert than they were, they'll tell you about the NWA World Heavyweight title and the history behind it. So to see it in a different light now, to see it presented the way it's been presented, it's amazing. It's all about the production standpoint now where it's the distribution's like endless. You can go anywhere with it. For me, I'm really looking forward to the six-man tag team match. I really am. I can't wait to see that. I've always been a huge fan of tag team wrestling, and I can't believe I'm saying this because, you know, I've enjoyed teams like the Rockers, the Hart Foundation, the Legion of Doom, Demolition, who we met at Boardwalk Beatdown. How cool was that, right?
Definitely cool.
The Young Bucks, to me, are probably one of the greatest tag teams I've ever had a chance to witness and see live. We've seen them during Ring of Honor tapings. We've seen them at Ring of Honor events. I don't think anybody does it better in terms of tag team wrestling. I'm sure a lot of purists are going to say, you know, the way they do it and the diving and stuff like that. Well, you know, as we talk about the evolution of professional wrestling, this might be the evolution of the business itself of what you do in terms of in-ring psychology. And I think nobody does it better than them.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. So, I mean, anybody's opinion counts because you know what? There's so many good matches on this card.
Unless they're wrong, then their opinion doesn't count.
Well, of course, it depends on you know who you talk to. But again, exactly. You know, you can't go wrong with any of these matches. You got Kenny Omega and Pentagon Jr. You've got Joey Janela and Hangman, which to me could steal the show. You've got the Over the Budget Battle Royal that happens right before the event, All In, 0 Hour, which is available on WGN. You have all these amazing things and some surprises, of course, too. You never know who might show up.
It better not be Flip Gordon.
Why not? I love Flip.
But he's not booked for All In, though.
But, I mean, it'd be nice if he's booked somehow, you know, and in some way they'll find a way to do it in a way where you're going to approve, too. So, you know, and obviously, you know, we did not delve into the fact that Neville has been able to get away from that WWE contract. There is no 90 days clause or anything. So could he be All In? That's something that a lot of people speculate. Of course, the your favorite CM Punk, will he make an appearance? I doubt it. But there's so many surprises.
I sense a little sarcasm there.
But there's so many surprises that I think can happen still. And I think that if there's anybody that's going to make you say, "Hey, I'm glad I paid my ticket. I'm glad I'm going away, you know, to the after party happy," it's definitely going to be Cody and the Young Bucks. They definitely know what the fans want, and they have the finger on the pulse of what the fans want and enjoy. So I expect this to be a very good show at All In, especially if the Cody Young Bucks are, you know, behind it. So, again, that is going to be an amazing show. All In, of course, Podcast Row, the weekend StarCast. Guys, do your meet and greets. Enjoy. It is a celebration. We are the Jersey Record Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the Trendsetter. Of course, we will be there covering all the aspects of All In. Follow us on our YouTube again. Can't stress enough. Like and subscribe to the YouTube. All of the content from All In and StarCast will be on our YouTube channel as well. And of course, come visit us at Podcast Row on Saturday, early in the morning at 10 a.m. Central. We will be there, and of course, the interviews will begin, and you guys will have all that content on the YouTube channel. So follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast, and so also begins our partnership with BodySlams.net. You can find the High Spot Podcast on there as well. So many things that we have planned for you. And don't forget to listen to us on the Cheap Hops Podcast Network. It is Brian Fritz's baby. And, of course, he's got the main show, the flagship Between the Ropes, that downloads every Wednesday. So definitely check that out. You've got, of course, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Stu Miernick and Justin Simmons will be there from All In. Of course, guys, the first beer is on you. And then, of course, you got Cosmic Geppetto. And you've got, of course, Stick to the Gimmick with Spencer Davies and Martin Harp as they recap NXT. And also, guys, we cannot forget the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Networks with amazing podcasts that you can find there as well. Like Kickin' Ass Podcast with Jesse and Andy, Shot of Wrestling, and Outsider's Edge with Mark Adam Haggerty, Trendsetter. Man, Let's go, man. Let's wrap this up so we can go to the lobby and check out these amazing festivities, these meet and greets, and let's get some interviews, man.
No, not interviews. I also want some deep dish pizza. I've never had it before. People say in Chicago, you got to have it. So that's what I'm going to get first as we're here and to enjoy the festivities, but also it's business. And it's also for you guys, too, making sure we get that content out for you so you guys can hear it, you can enjoy it, you can watch it, so you'll be stimulated not only from your senses, from hearing something, but visually as well, because we do it all for you guys. So you've been listening to the High Spot Podcast, as Jeff said before. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We greatly appreciate all your support. For my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I'm the trendsetter, Brian Berga, in Chicago for All In, guys. Remember, the reason why we're here and we're all in is for one reason and one reason only, and that is for you, the crew.